Well, there you go.
Good afternoon. I'd like to call the Veterans and Military Affairs Finance and Policy Committee to order. It is the 20th of March. Do we have minutes from the last meeting here?
Yep.
Okay. Representative Clardy, have you had a chance to look at the minutes?
I have.
Good. And would you like to move the minutes?
So moved.
Thank you. Minutes have been moved. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of approving the minutes, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, we've got minutes. We would, let's stand and do the Pledge of Allegiance. Chair Bliss, if you, or lead Bliss, if you would lead us. Thank you.
The Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. This morning we have Representative Anderson. If you'd like to come forward with your bill, House File 3011. This bill is going to be laid over for possible inclusion as we move this to the Ways and Means Committee. So, Representative Anderson, if you would present the bill, please.
Thank you, Chair Newton and members. This is a pretty simple bill. It was there was a $774,000 which was dedicated in the 2022 vet supplemental bill, so just 9 months ago, to the Veterans Campground in Big Marine for wastewater systems upgrade. Since that was just 9 months ago, they had been working diligently, and they were out for bids. They have them back, and they should break ground in August. Unfortunately, the time frame was essentially would have the money expiring before then. So I don't know how that happened, but it did. So we're just requesting that we extend the one-time appropriation until 2025. There's no extra dollars, essentially, with this. And with that, I'll stand for questions.
Good. Thank you, Representative Anderson. Is there anyone in the audience that has anything that they would like to say about the bill? Members of the committee? Good. This is a pretty simple bill, and there's actually no funding involved because it's already been paid for. So with that, I renew my motion that House File 3011 be laid over for possible inclusion in the probable inclusion in the omnibus bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Anderson. And so now, next we have House File 1937, which is our main bill of the year. And I'll be going up with Ben Johnson is here, I think, and General Mankey. If you all would like to come up, we can get that bill away. And Representative Elkins, if you will take over the chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Chair, with your permission, we'll do this in three sections. We'll have General Mankey go first with the guard section of the bill, and then Mr. Johnson with the MDVA.
And Mr. Chair, would you like to move your bill?
I'd like to move House File 1937, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. First and foremost, thank you for meeting with us and working through these numbers. I know we're greatly appreciative for the collaboration as we look at some of the things that are going forward. And really, in our bill, if we look at it, I know there's some our portion of the bill.
General Mankey, you could remind the sound system in this room really sucks, and so you kind of need, we need to speak into the mics in here.
I need to sound like a general.
Yeah, exactly.
And for the record, I'm Major General Sean Mink, I'm the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard. And as I was saying, I appreciate the collaboration working with the chair. As we, as you all know, the budget target numbers came out last week, and so we kind of worked through this and looked at it. And if you look at our portion of the bill, you know, there's an increase to the general support fund throughout the years, and then there's an enlisted and retention bonus increase. And then we have ads for our domestic operations, communications, and capabilities, which we talked about before the committee here not too long ago. We have an ad for the holistic health and fitness, the H2F, which we talked about briefly, and then as well as an ad for the cyber coordination cell. The specific numbers, do you want me to get into those, Mr. Chair?
Only if members of the committee want to get into the numbers. We've seen all of this before, yeah. So I think we can.
Yeah, and Mr. Chair and General Mank, I should mention that we have a DE amendment before us, and what we're speaking to is the contents of the DE amendment. I think if I'm correct.
Yes, Mr. Chair, when we get to my portion of the bill,
yep.
I think we can do the DE amendment.
There's one portion of that we have not requested or presented to this committee before, and that's an Army Combat Fitness Test Field House. Mm-hmm. And we are asking for $17.6 million in cash for construction of this field house up at AHAS. That includes both the design funds as well as the funds for this facility. You know, one of the things that has changed with the way that the Army conducts fitness tests is it used to be sit-ups, push-ups, and a two-mile run. You used to be able to kind of do that just about anywhere. Mm-hmm. With the equipment that's needed now for the new Army ECFT, it's a rather, you know, you need special barbells, special weights. Desirable to do it on turf. If you don't do it on turf, the standard for doing it, I would argue, is much more difficult. And we are now to the point where we're sending our soldiers to a warrior leader course, basic non-commissioned officer, you know, NCOES, OES, WOCS, and these service members, in order to complete the course, they have to pass this test. And we have ways to do that, but it's rather cumbersome. From a guard force of about 10,400 soldiers right now, they're required to take a four-record test annually. That's four records. So you could say, well, we can do that during the summer, but I think we all know if we're going to try to pass a PT test, the time to start preparing for that PT test is not a couple weeks before we take the PT test, but rather we should take it periodically and have the means to do this. And you could also argue that there's other resources available where there's, you know, you could get to turf inside, and we can do that, but the part of the problem with that is the logistical burden of moving all that equipment to these locations where you need to conduct these tests. So we're asking for this funding, and you know, I believe it is paramount to the readiness of the long term of the Minnesota National Guard. The location that we're proposing to put it is at AHATS. And as you know, at AHAS, there is also a rather big reserve training armory up there as well. We would certainly open this facility up to all branches, all components of service to use this facility for this problem set that really I would say that the Army gave us, and we haven't really thought through the second, third order effects of that. But we do know that this is something that we think we need for the readiness of the Minnesota National Guard and our services as we move forward. If you look at the slide packet in front of you, we're asking to put a 200-meter track, so it's a rather big facility inside of it, and then a turf inside of that, which would allow us to administer this test and then have the ability really to train 12 months a year in Minnesota with our resources. And as I said, we would use this facility for all components of the armed forces to use this and frankly, other agencies that might need to use this facility. This would be one-time money, so once it's paid for, the maintenance and upkeep and facilities would be picked up by the federal government. It would need to be in cash money because it's on federal land is where we would propose that we're putting it.
Thank you. Oh. Go ahead.
Mr. Chair Mr. Chair, General Mankey, you answered kind of a couple of my questions right there at the end, and that's the whole thing about being a combined operational force, so that the USAR folks would be able to use that facility as well. Is there kind of a two-parter? Is there for other services, the Air Force or Naval Reserve or any, or would there be a capability of a multi-purpose use of this other than just for the AFCT or ACFT?
Mr. Chair, Representative Beans, absolutely. You know, this facility would allow us to put the equipment there that's needed for really the Army Reservists and the National Guard to take their tests, and any other recruiters or whatever that might want to take that, and then it could be used multi-purpose for other stuff. You know, if you look at the diagram, it would have a 200-meter track inside of a building and then inside of that turf, so you could use it for really whatever the space could be used for, and absolutely would open it up to any component. You know, this is something that we have been looking at a problem set really since the ACFT was initiated by the Army, and we asked to come forward with it because of the situation that the state is in right now, and the fact that it is a one-time funding. You know, once it's funded, we own it, but we don't have the funding to build it. But much like Ripley is used by multi-agencies, inter-agencies, this could be the same, used by the inter-agencies if needed for example, the State Patrol or other local law enforcement agencies. We would schedule it much the same way we do put the training ranges and training facilities that we have up at Camp Ripley.
Yep. Mr. Chair, General Mankey, thank you. I appreciate taking the opportunity. Minnesota has been forward-looking on so many things in the past, and you continue to do that. I kind of wish there would be more money or more get from the federal government, you know, mandating that we've got this new new physical training test that we do. But I think you're doing the right thing, preparing our soldiers, our future leaders, to be able to not only just pass but actually succeed at a higher level. And the interagency cooperation that you're talking about, I think it's money well spent. So thank you very much, General Mankey and Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Bliss, I think you had a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, just looking over the bill and the rider language, I don't see this listed anywhere. Are we going to add it, the language to the bill through an amendment?
Mr. Chair?
Mm-hmm. Yes, this would be added. This was added at the last minute by the governor, and we added two things to the bill. We're not going to accept one of them, but this one will be accepted. And actually, when I get to my portion of this, the numbers that we have in the bill are not completely accurate. They're going to be changed before we get to Ways and Means.
All right.
And I'll make sure that everyone on the committee sees them in advance, so that if you have any amendments that you want to make, you'll have the opportunity to do that.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Further questions? Okay. Mr. Johnson?
Chair, members of the committee, my name is Ben Johnson. I'm the legislative director for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And I, too, want to acknowledge the agency and the governor's appreciation for the opportunity to continue to work on this very important bill. I also want to call out those members of this committee and say thank you for your interest in continuing to serve Minnesota's veterans and their families. I know that is a highlight for this committee this year, is to make sure that we're taking care of not only veterans, but also their spouses and dependents. I don't want to speak too much about what exists in the bill at present, because I know that it will change between now and the next committee stop. I would highlight there are a couple of items in here that are below the recommended levels from the governor's office, and I understand the target is what it is, sir. Thank you again for your willingness to continue to work on this. One in particular is on line 27 of the spreadsheet, the MACV supportive housing grant. That's one area where we would really like to see this, the partnership with MACV be supported. There's a pretty significant reduction in the governor's recommendation here. And it's just one area to illustrate that we see a real opportunity to continue to go forward here. These are units that are necessary to get to functional zero in veterans homelessness in the state. So I just wanted, for as an example or illustrative of the opportunity to continue to work, that is one area. And the other one I do need to call out, again, the chair has been willing to work through this with us. on line 26, the State Veterans Cemetery. This is another area that we really need to focus on. It was an area that has been underfunded in the past. We've been utilizing our cemetery maintenance and development account to take care of some things that typically wouldn't be handled through a CMD account. So this really brings us to full funding for the operational needs of the State Veterans Cemetery. So just another example of an area that Chair Newton has agreed a willingness to consider. I won't go too in depth there beyond to say, again, thank you for the attention in this committee this year. I've been before you a couple times to brief the budget as the governor's recommendation, and I've had really good feedback from members of this committee, really good questions, and I appreciate your attention. Thank you. Good.
Are there questions for Mr. Johnson? Good. And then, Mr. Kerr, will you be testifying as well?
I don't think so, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Chair.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'll go over basically what we've done here in committee. It's on line 33, Representative Bennett's bill on the veterans bonus. The line 35 is increasing the eligibility on the GI Bill. We have Representative Lissigard's bill on the veterans on the lake, the cemetery burial fee waived for spouses, that's a Garofalo bill. Camp Bliss is Representative Bliss's bill. The Veterans Resilience Project is Representative Clardy's bill. The museum grant is Representative Coulter's bill. And the every third Sunday provision grant is from Representative Greenman. And then we have the largest item we have on there is the Military Veterans Museum, and that was the major funding. As Mr. Johnson said, we came to an agreement. We sort of arm wrestled for the last few days, and I haven't seen his final numbers yet, but I think we're really close right now. And what I've done is I've got a terrible cold. I've deleted the Minneapolis Veterans Home for this year with the assurance from MDVA that's going to be their number one priority next year. And I know dealing with veterans that I can count on them to follow through with that. That is a process. It's not a one-time funding and done. It takes the funding that we get from this committee combined with money from the VA, and it usually takes a couple of years before that happens in any case. The same with all of the veterans' homes. So that's essentially it, and as Mr. Johnson said, you know, this has been, for me, a really great committee because we've looked at the veteran as the whole veteran with his family and her family and, you know, extended beyond just the needs of individual veterans, but to make sure that the families are taken care of as well. So with that, Mr. Chair, I'm open for questions. And also, I'd like to, I think Representative Bliss would like to offer the A1 amendment.
Yeah, Lead Bliss, would you like to offer the A1 amendment to the DE?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, yes, I would. Mm-hmm. Basically, it adds to the line on the for the Veterans on the Lake Camp Bliss and Veterans Resilience Project that it's for Minnesota residents.
Mm-hmm. Pretty straightforward.
And I think we discussed it with the people prior anyway.
I think the chair is recommending a yes vote
it's
on this.
It's a good amendment, and I recommend that we pass it, okay. Mr. Chair.
Any other conversation or questions? I think we can do this by a voice vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? We have the amendment adopted. Mr. Chair.
Good. Thank you. And that essentially wraps up our business for this session. As I said, there are some changes that are going to be made, and I make sure that everyone on both sides of the aisle is fully aware of what we're doing so that you have a chance if you want to make any other changes. Okay. But also to contact me or Mr. Koppel if if you have any amendments to this bill that, once you go through it again, and then we can get it before, I think Ways and Means, my understanding is either just before break or right after Easter break, that we will be having this bill before Ways and Means.
Yeah.
So with that, I want to thank you all. This has been a wonderful committee. We've got a lot done together. It's been very cooperative, and I really appreciate having all you on the committee.
Move it to Ways and Means?
Oh, yeah.
Oh. And then, so, Mr. Chair, I think we'd have to take the formal motion to adopt the DE.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So moved. Any discussion to the DE? Okay. All in favor of adopting the DE? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And I think we want to move this then to the Ways and Means Committee. Oh, okay. Is there anyone from the public who would like to testify this before we move it? Guess not.
Okay.
Member discussion? No? This is easy. This committee is so easy to get along with. Wish all of our committees were this good.
Good. Thank you all.
Okay, so Mr. Chair, would you like to remove your motion that HF 1937 is amended be re-referred to the House Ways and Means Committee?
That is my motion.
Post it.
Okay. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. I think we're adjourned. Wait.
The bill passes
as moved, yet. Members, and this concludes our meetings for this session. So.